The following program is being broadcast on the Amazing Women of Power, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. This show contains motivational language and may not be suitable for negative listeners.
Dreams. I've had enough of these annoying and distracting schemes. I'll choose my friends because apparently they're choosing me. The time is now to pay attention to my destiny.
From his humble studio in Orange County, California, comes a young songwriter with a dream, encouraging others to go after their dreams. Learning from the best in the business and passing it along to you, it's Strong Rider on the radio.
I had the blues, but I made it better, baby. And that's why I wrote this song. And now you can sing along.
My mind's made up to reconnect with good friends, especially those in the music business. And before we go any further, let me please introduce myself. My name is Dean Olson, and welcome to Strong Rider on the Radio. This is a program that strives to keep the songwriter musically fit. And the way I try to do that is through faith and encouragement, learning from the best in the business, and passing it along to you. So let's get started. You and I are in for a very special treat today because a special friend of mine is returning to the show. Her name is Chantel Ogden. She's my very special guest today. You've heard her on the show previously and on a series of YouTube clips where she was talking with me candidly about the music business from a songwriter's perspective. And I am hoping to get her to brag a little bit about her current album titled Ghosts in the Field. This is a wonderful CD, 7 tracks of deep and also upbeat Americana music. Chantel, let's just get into it. Welcome back to the radio show. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show, Dean.
Well, this is kind of a nice treat for me. I know it's going to be a treat for the listeners, but, you know, almost 4 years ago was our first and only interview, and I kind of appreciated that. I've always treasured it. You were working on an album at the time called Stories Behind Sounds, which was your second album, and now you're on your fourth.
Right.
That's pretty
right. Time flies when you're having fun.
So maybe we can talk about that. Maybe we start at the beginning before you can tell me a little bit about the songs. This CD was produced in Nashville by John Willis. I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about your producer.
That's right. John Willis here in Nashville. He owns a studio called Willis Sounds, and he's been my producer on the last two projects, and I was really excited to be able to work with him again on my new record called Ghost in the Field.
Why are we calling it that?
It's called that because there's a song on it called Ghosts in the Field, and it's about roots and kind of going back to the things that make you authentic as a person. And I feel like there's a lot of kind of ghosts of relationship past and maybe looking forward to what the future leads in this record.
Yeah, so the ghosts in the field are, in this case, you're relating this a lot to your ancestors, your family.
Right, right. Yeah, I grew up on a third-generation dairy farm in rural Utah, and it's been a huge part of kind of how I look at the world as a writer. And I think that anybody who has roots will understand kind of that connection that we feel to our roots and our need to kind of reconnect with our roots over time, and how that's really important to who we are.
Absolutely. And you don't have to be a farm girl to relate to it, because I listen to the lyrics. It's they kind of sound universal to people who were, they're very introspective, and they think about what came before them and what their lineage is, you know?
Yeah, I think it's something that everybody can relate to, and regardless if they grew up on a farm or not. And I think that that's what makes songs kind of universal is those themes that connect us all.
Swear I see my grandpa walking, pushing that old rusty plow. Listening for his simple wisdom, I think I hear him now say, remember where you came from, don't forget to pray. keep going through the hard times. You can't control the rain. Sometimes this world gets me spinning round. I come back here so I can slow it down. Some roots run deep, even ones that you can't see. But to me, nothing seems more real than ghosts in the field.
I like sort of the hook in the chorus is sometimes this world gets me spinning round. I come back here so I can slow it down. I think that's a great description of you going back to your home in central Utah.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely a place that I love to visit. I get home every chance I get, and I think, you know, I have a lot of friends that are from a lot of places all over the world, and I feel like everybody kind of needs to reconnect with their home and their family, and kind of just have that touchstone.
Yeah, a lot of the songs on here were written with a good friend of yours and somebody who I had the privilege to have on the show too. It's Bill DeLuigi.
Right, yeah. So for this record, I went back to the wheelhouse from the production team side, working with John Willis and Judy Rodman again to produce the vocals. And from the writing side, I definitely did the same thing. You know, Bill and I spent some time out on the road last year doing some shows out west, and we wrote actually three songs that are on this record: Ghost in the Fields, Who Comes First, Just a Little, and then we were actually, there's an eighth track that's available only on the digital release called The Other Woman, and Bill and I wrote that probably about a month ago in Atlanta when I was down there doing some press stuff for the new record, and it was one of those songs that kind of struck me, and I thought, well, It's kind of too late to put it on the record, but I want to release this. And so we did an acoustic track with John and are releasing it as a digital only track. So folks can get it on my website or on iTunes. But Bill's a fantastic writer and a great friend of mine. And, you know, we just like to write together because we always feel like we come up with something good. And, that's a neat creative space to be in with somebody like Bill in Nashville.
Yeah, it's a chemistry, to use an overused term. But how'd you two meet, Bill and you?
Bill and I met at an event probably about 8 or 9 years ago. There's a guy here in town that was hosting a networking event called Guitarbecue, and it was like a barbecue for songwriters. And Bill and I met there playing music, and I listened to his songs and liked them, and he heard my songs and liked them, and you know, 8 years later we've become good friends, and we've had some success together as writers with film and TV placements, and you know, I've been real blessed to release some songs that we've written together and just continue to kind of create music and travel together. He's often somebody I take out with me on the road to play some additional guitar and to sing some harmonies for me.
Yeah, it's kind of a blessing, I see, anyway, for you to have somebody like that that you can work with and to have them help you on all these things. Not all of them, but there was quite a few. How many are there? One, two, three, four, maybe?
So there's four tracks on the record that Bill and I co-wrote, and then there are two songs that are actually written by other writers that I recorded for the project. And then there are two additional songs that I wrote with other writers here in Nashville. Be My Rain, I wrote with Judy Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
She's, you know, in addition to being one of the best vocal producers I've ever met, she's a fantastic songwriter as well and has been a hit songwriter. And we got together and wrote a song called Be My Rain.
Till I stop asking why I want you.
And then I also sat down with Joe Doyle, who's a hit songwriter, has had hits with Alabama and Red Akins, and I just found out the other day he got a Kenny Rogers cut. He's a great writer, and I wrote God Counts Every Tear with him and Brian Kolb, who's the guy that mixed my record, but he's also a writer. So, you know, Nashville people are pretty multi-talented, and I'm just real grateful to know so many wonderful people.
That 3 a.m. runaway, first night in a cold escape, thinking, what have I done? That screaming child in his mother's arms, hungry stares, shattered hearts, close to giving up. Yeah, it might seem those desperate moments have no end and go unnoticed. Every doubt, every fear, all the hope that disappears, every last unanswered prayer, the pain that falls from our eyes, all the time that passes by like no one cares. Someone sees what happens here, God counts every tear.
You know, the song is really about, I think it's about hope that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. And we kind of illustrated that by sharing some real universal moments that that people experience that are hard, that they feel like they're alone in. So the story kind of unravels of different people, and they think that they're alone, but you know, but really, you know, every tear, every prayer, everything that they experience, that there is someone that sees, and there is someone that cares, and that at the end of the day is, you know, that God sees those things, and he knows us and knows what we're going through. So, you know, it's exciting because that song, I found out, is going to be my first single in the UK and Ireland.
Great. Yeah.
For this record, and it's being promoted by KEMC Global, which is a company over there, a record label and a radio promotions company. So I'm excited. They, you know, they feel really good about that being the lead single from this album in that area. And we're just really excited to kind of share some of those important messages.
This isn't the first time that you had exposure and acceptance in the UK, huh? You did this before.
Yeah, my last record, Better at Goodbye, I actually did a couple of singles to promote over there, and I had two top 20 singles and just some radio success, which is great, and I really appreciate the stations over there and the stations here that supported me in the States with sharing that music. You know, it's so important for shows like yours, for artists like me, because the music is about sharing it. And it's stations like yours and programs like yours that help us as artists kind of connect to an audience of people that may not know our music. And that's really, I just am very grateful for the opportunity to talk with you about the record today.
Well, I do appreciate it. You know, God Counts Every Tear. I'm not lying to you. This is a wonderful song. I was always wondering if there were like hidden messages in these things, but you're pretty straightforward in your songwriting, especially the lyrics, but you do it beautifully. God Counts Every Tear is kind of a melancholy slice of life, but I was trying to figure out, is it a metaphor? And sometimes I look for clues in the bridge, but one of the things you said in there is, to him, meaning God, to him they're loud as thunder. It's really a song of hope, as far as I was able to interpret.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, the bridge says, you know, they may fall without a sound, empty room, 11th hour, but to him they're loud as thunder. And, you know, I really do believe in that. And, you know, I do think there's a lot of hope in that. And there's a lot of honesty in it too. And I think those two things can kind of link arms, and you can be honest about things that are hard, but still offer you know, offer hope to a listener.
They may fall without a sound, empty room, 11th hour, but to him their loudest thunder, to him their loudest thunder. Every doubt, every fear, all the hope that disappears, every last unanswered prayer. The pain that falls from our eyes, all the time that passes by like no one cares.
No one cares.
Someone sees what happens here. God counts every tear.
After the title track, you have another one called Who Comes First, and I thought that was kind of powerful, but can you tell me a little bit about it and what it's about?
So that song, in its essence, is really about a woman who loves an addict, and it's a sad scenario in the sense that, you know, people who are addicts, they... because they're addicts, whether it be drugs or alcohol or pornography or whatever the addiction, they're really unable to put the people in their lives and the relationships in their lives at the top level of priority. And this woman in the song is just asking herself, you know, we kind of set it up and you're not really sure, the story kind of unfolds, what she's talking about, if there's maybe an infidelity or how does it work and how does it look. And in the chorus you find out that that it's someone who's an alcoholic. And the whole point of the song is, you know, when you write a song like that, you want to kind of end with a positive message, and you want to end, at least I do, in kind of a position of strength.
Yeah.
So the end of it is her kind of just saying, kind of just giving the choice and the ultimatum of, you know, it's me or the whiskey. I sure hope you pick me, because I can't stay and watch you go from bad to worse.
Wow.
Because I know who comes first. And she knows that she comes first, and she's finally drawing that line and saying, you know, I know who comes first, and if you can't choose that, I'm not going to be here. And I'm not gonna stay involved in that. And I think that kind of angle of tough love is hard for people who are in relationships with people who are addicted. But I also think that, you know, you do have the ability to choose. And, you know, I think that, can stand up for yourself and advocate for your needs and be a strong woman or a strong man. So that song's just about choosing to make good decisions and kind of watching somebody unravel who you care about.
Yeah.
What that feels like.
I can't hold your attention for long, 'cause you're always a little bit gone. You're not cheating with another woman, but what you're doing still hurts. I hate knowing who comes first. You reach for me when you're hurting, I'll be your glass of top shelf bourbon. You never go back to your good old go-to, 'cause I won't leave you empty like the bottle that holds you.
And, you know, I think with this record, I wanted to make people think a little bit. And I think that Who Comes First is one of those songs that kind of makes you think a little bit, because we all know people who struggle.
Yes.
And, you know, family and friends. And so it's not an uncommon thing. And I think who comes first is just kind of about looking at those situations for what they are.
It is quite, not only from that perspective, but from the perspective of the person who loves the addicted one. You know, you even had a line in there, if you reach for me when you're hurting, I'll be your glass of top shelf bourbon. That sounds pretty like a plead to turn away from whatever that was plaguing them, you know, that they become a slave to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's one of the things I noticed about all your songwriting, that if you have something to say, you don't preach or hit somebody in the head with it. You give a very poignant story. And I think that's a great thing about being able to write a song and touch people, is you can do it in a quiet way and still be very strong with it, you know?
Well, I feel like it's important to share messages and to uniquely kind of comment. For me, as an artist, it's important to be authentic about what I see. And at the same time, you know, I try to do that without judgment, you know, because I know situations, and I've had a lot of problems, you know, in my family. There's been a lot of problems with addictions, and, you know, it's a sad thing to watch. And I feel like, you know, if I can kind of offer a point of view that might help somebody or make somebody think, it's a good thing. And I do have fun songs on the record, and, you know, try to offer some just entertainment for people and some fun songs. But on the other hand, I do want to make people think about, you know, kind of examine some things and think through things.
Yeah. Well, so as we wrap this up, Chantel, I want to tell you how much I really appreciate you talking about your newest album, Ghosts in the Field, and sharing from your heart. And now, two underlying themes of my show are faith and encouragement, and I know that you are a woman of strong faith. How has this played a part in your career and your life to keep you centered?
Well, for me, Dean, that's really the core of who I am as a person. And honestly, I feel like there are so few things that I actually know in this life that we're all in. I feel like I know, you know, that there are people around me that love and encourage me and support me. I feel like there's a God in heaven who knows me and who loves me and who is there for me. And I feel like music is part of my life's work. And I think about that a lot, because the music industry is a very, can be a very difficult place. It can be difficult, in a lot of ways. Emotionally, financially, there's just a lot of things that are really tough about the music industry.
Yeah, it is.
But
tough.
I really see, you know, having acknowledged that, you know, I really see it as a calling, as a life work. And because I see it that way, and because I believe that that's part of my journey and part of the work that I need to do as a daughter of a Heavenly Father that loves me, I feel like that gives me a perspective that helps me endure and helps me continue through challenging times. And so I think, you know, anybody, regardless of your religious affiliation or not, it takes a lot of faith to look at a blank piece of paper and say something. And it takes a lot of courage to do that. And I would just say, you know, to any writer out there, that if you can face a blank piece of paper and say something, that's half the battle, is just doing that. And whatever your aspirations are, it's all about just kind of getting down to those basics of what you want to say, what you see in the world, what you stand for, finding your authentic voice as a writer. And I think, you know, those are moments that are huge for any writer. And, you know, for me, the biggest payoff comes when I hear from people that have connected somehow with my music. I think for me, music is about connecting with people and sharing with people. And, you know, those are the biggest moments in my career when I can hear from people that have been moved somehow. So I think, you know, for me, faith is an everyday integral part of my journey as a person, and as a writer. I think it just takes that to move through and to continue on your path. And I have been very blessed with some good friends. And I think if you're kind of following a certain path and it's a good path, you're going to find other good people on that path. And for me, that certainly has been the case.
Wow. talk about being blessed. I'm blessed that you were able to impart that. Did you even know you were going to say that? Because that sounds so beautiful, what you just shared.
That's well, I appreciate that.
No, I'm kidding with you.
I didn't know you were going to ask that question, but, you know, it is something I think a lot about. And, you know, I'm glad you asked the question because I think that we don't talk enough as a society about some of these things, especially the writing community. So I'm just glad you asked the question.
Well, it sounds like something that somebody said before, but I think as far as God, people are turning away from it. It seems like that anyway. If you pay enough attention to things that you probably shouldn't be looking at, you know, watching TV too much or, you know, staying on the internet, reading news feeds, you get the feeling that God is being erased or put in a box and that we don't pay attention to him enough. But when you do, great things can happen. Do you agree or disagree?
I absolutely do. I mean, I think in general, sort of faith and belief has kind of fallen out of fashion. Mm-hmm. But I do think, you know, I live in the Bible Belt, and, you know, that's one great thing about being in Nashville is that I feel like there's a lot of faith here and a lot of people with very strong faith. And, you know, that's I think, a really good thing. And I think it's a really good part of the journey in life is to have that belief in something bigger and a purpose and a plan and yeah. Kind of where you're headed as a person.
You be my anchor.
Anchor.
I'll be your rock.
I'll be your rock.
We'll have it all if we're all we got. So bring on lightning, bring on the rain. If loving is crazy, baby, let's go insane. Falling is flying with a different ending. Laughing is crying with a little pretend. As long as you're mine, as long as you're mine, as long as you're mine.
Yeah, well, talking about blessings, it's been a blessing to be able to be your friend and to get to catch up with you after all this time. We haven't had an official interview in almost 4 years. I think it's a wonderful thing for at least me to be able to get to see you progress and grow your career and your life in just the short time that I've known you.
Well, yeah, I enjoy catching up with you too, and I'm glad we've been able to stay in contact, and I really appreciate your support and sharing some information about my new record, Ghosts in the Field, and just, you know, would invite people to go to my website, ChantelOgden.com. And
that's the hub. That's the hub for everything, right? You can find out everything.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. There's tons of ways to stay in contact, and I just love to hear from people. That's like, to me, the greatest gift of all is just to connect with people. And social media is a really good thing for that. So, you know, just would love to hear from your listeners. And again, you know, thank you for taking the time to talk with me today.
I always appreciate it. And, you know, here at the Olson household, we love you. So we appreciate you and Jesse. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? Who is Jesse?
Jesse's my very sweet 11-year-old lab mix. She's sitting on the porch watching squirrels as we talk.
That's wonderful.
So she's a sweet dog, and we're both dog lovers. That's something we have in common.
Yeah, she's a good friend. She's almost like a daughter to you. I'm only going to assume that because that's how we feel.
Yeah, I've always said she's kind of a cross between a dog and a daughter. I call her my dogger.
Well, listen, Chantel, I promised that we'd get you out of here early, and I really appreciate that you came on and made this much more than just a promotion for your latest project, Ghost in the Field. Although, I want to get the word out about it. People should go to your website, which is www.chantelogden.com. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but you, like all my shows, I want to make sure I give just a little bit extra, and you gave something at the end there that I'll treasure, so I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Dean, and look forward to speaking again soon.
Okay, thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, Chantel Ogden.
For information on Chantel's album, Ghosts in the Field, and all things Chantel, go to her website, www.chantelogden.com. That's S-H-A-N-T-E-L-L-O-G-D-E-N. She is also featured at strongwriter.com, where you can hear past episodes and more information. We'll talk to you next week. Goodbye now.
You've been listening to Strong Rider on the radio with your host, Dean Olson, on the Amazing Women and Men of Power, the world's leading positive programming network powered by Raven International.